What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the R&D Wrestling Podcast. I'm Ryan Brower.
And I'm DJ Gruber. And today we're going to be discussing the best parts of 2024, going from Male Wrestler of the Year to Female Wrestler of the Year and a lot of other fun stuff that, and we're just going to give you our opinions on the best parts of 2024 for All Elite Wrestling.
Absolutely. That's going to be fun. It's going to be like our own little, 2024 AEW award show. I think, if I've got writing down here correctly, I think we've got like at least 12 awards here that each of us are going to be giving out to certain, wrestlers, events, shows, just like this is, and just kind of talk about, like what were the best parts of 2024 for AEW. But as always, before we do that, we always like to have like a little current events topic as well, where I'll hit DJ with a bunch of questions or, like his thoughts on things. He doesn't know ahead of time what I'm going to ask him, so I think it makes it all the more fun. And yeah, just before we begin with that, even you guys, make sure you guys, if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you guys like this video, subscribe to the channel as well. We put out, we try to put out, as much content as we can over there. But then you can also find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're up on a couple different podcast platforms as well. So, spread the word, share it around, let people know that this is the wrestling podcast to be at.
Should we get into our current topics right now?
Absolutely. So the first one, if you don't mind, DJ, I would actually like to take the lead on the first one. So I have written down on my notes here, TNA asked talent for pay cuts. Shocker, it didn't work out. This company cannot learn their freaking lesson. This is the same crap that they pulled with AJ Styles back in 2013 when they were like, yeah, AJ, we know you're like the biggest star in our company. You're our world champion and everything like that. Would you not only mind not taking more money? Could you take less money, please? What a shocker. That didn't work out either. And AJ Styles became like, a massive star as well in like Ring of Honor, New Japan, and then eventually WWE. So it's so funny to me that it's like we're now like a decade removed from that, and that company just still doesn't appear to have learned their lesson.
I had to, do some breathing exercises, that therapists recommend, because TNA, man, when will they? I gotta watch my mouth here.
When will they learn?
Yeah. And quick question here. Who's in charge of TNA right now? Because they've been all over the place lately.
Yeah, no, there's been like a new transition of power. I feel like Scott D'Amore like worked his butt off to actually like give the company a little bit of relevancy. But then he was let go from the company, I think like last year. And now it's being, I don't even know who's like running it now, but just like they've asked people to take pay cuts and stuff. And they have like a lot of their top stars that are probably going to be leaving as well for places like WWE, potentially AEW. We'll have to see what all happens there. But yeah, no, I just found it funny, man. It's like I don't like to like bash on wrestling promotions and things like that. But when I saw that story, I'm like, oh my gosh, why? Moving on to our first official topic that I'll ask you here, DJ. So I'd like to get your take on what you think is going on between Ricky Starks and AEW. So if you don't know the full story, I'll kind of give you here a little bit of context. So GCW sources told Fightful that AEW had pulled him from all of their GCW shows after one of their talent, and I can't remember their name, so I'm not gonna try to remember, but like one of their talent was like saying stuff about like Tony Khan and bashing AEW and stuff, and it eventually led to like Ricky Starks then getting pulled, which is then funny because like it wasn't even like what Ricky Starks didn't even say anything, but it still got him pulled. But then yet, like I think a week or two ago at the time of this recording, Chris Jericho was on GCW. So it just kind of begs the question, like what's going on with Ricky Starks?
Well, I think Ricky wanted to leave, honestly. Like, if he wants to leave, so be it, because we have a talented roster as it is already. I mean, honestly, at this point, Ricky can do whatever he wants. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he went to WWE within the next year when they go to Netflix. So
I think part of it, though, is I don't even know if it's necessarily that he doesn't want to be there, but like, I just think that part of it as well is just like he's not getting booked.
Well, so I get what you mean, but at the same time, he could have done something about it, maybe take a couple matches on Collision, and then win some matches and show Tony, like, put me on Dynamite, put me in the main card, and then you know, work his way back up. But instead, you know, he's taking the baby route where he's like, oh, I'm going to cry and complain. I'm going to go to WWE and be with Cody, whatever, and be like, I'm going to make you do something about it, when, you know, he could just go come in and do a couple matches. Like, I think he could have done something about it before it came to this, honestly.
Sure. Okay, so then the next topic of discussion that I want to hit you with is, what are your thoughts, Penta? We've been following this story for a little bit, you and I, like over the yes. course of our podcast. Penta has officially left AEW, and at the time of this recording, they just played this vignette on Raw that everybody thinks that it's Penta. That's and it's all revolved around their first Netflix show. So I think that's most likely where he's debuting. Give me your thoughts, man. What do you think?
First off, give me a quick moment. I have to, you know, let my emotions out quick.
Okay.
Fucking A! All right, anyways. Anyways, so...
you good there, bro? You got all it out. You got all of it out there. Oh my gosh,
since day
bro.
One, Penta has been my guy. Like
I know, man. I know.
Penta has been my boy.
Oh man.
Like seriously, when you see your day one go to the other company, I'm like, no.
And yeah. I
clearly,
know.
you saw me. You know, let my emotions out there, but. At the end of the day, I got to remind myself that this is a business and wrestlers have to do what they have to do its best. Am I a bit mad? Yes, I am mad. Am I going to be mad when he goes to Netflix? At this point, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do. But
yeah, I'll say this much, like on a positive note, maybe we'll actually get to see Penta have like somewhat of a decent singles push while his brother is not in the company. Because I think Phoenix has still like got a year left on his contract due to like injury time added. So maybe this means Penta will actually get like a singles push. I don't know if I see Penta being a world champion there. Do I think he could be? Absolutely. Maybe they'll give him a nice like US title or an intercontinental title run for like a year or something. That'd be cool.
You know what? Please, I the reason why I'm so skeptical right now, because look at every star, like I'm not going to mention names here, but look who went over there and look what's happened to them. I'm worried they're going to do that to my boy Penta. And the reason why I'm so mad right now is because Penta is one heck of a good talent, and I feel like he's going to get wasted. That's why I had to you know, let my emotions out, because he is so freaking good.
And there's every chance that he does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, if he gets a U.S. title or Intercontinental title, I'm happy, because that's already better than, sadly, what they've done with him in AEW. Do I feel like Penta could have won the TNT title? Oh, yeah. But, you know, stuff happens. But at the end of the day, if he's going to get a good push, he's got to do what he's got to do. Am I going to be mad about it? Yes, but whatever he's got to do, he's got
to
do.
And just to clarify, like, you're mad that he's going over to the other company. Like, you'd be happy if he got a push, though, there, right?
I'd be happy if he got a push, but I am sad that he's going over to the other company. Because he was one of my day ones, you know? Like,
yeah,
absolutely. I have his AEW action figure. He's like one of my guys, like Cerro Miedo. But now he's going to, you know how I feel.
Yeah, no, for sure. I will say this is actually like one of the more fun things about wrestling is like when we get to have moments like this where it's like, oh, a person that we really liked went over to another company. And then, oh, a wrestler that we really liked from this company went to this company. Like it's such like a healthy wrestling environment, and it's something that needs to stay around. Like all these people that, like, you know, because it's getting louder and louder every day, all this like echo chamber of like people wishing for AEW to die. And it's like y'all have no idea what you're asking for yourselves right now. For all of you WWE fans that like the current product, if you would like to continue for it to stay the way that it is, you need AEW around for that to happen. Go ahead, DJ.
So yeah, I'm sorry, but like those people that are saying like AEW is dying, because I have seen comments on social media platforms saying like, oh my gosh, AEW is going to struggle or whatever. I'm like, did you even take a moment to watch Dynamite? Did you even take a moment to watch a Collision? Because we are thriving right now. Like, I honestly think this is probably one of the better years for AEW. Like, people can disagree with me and all that, but I think this was a very good year, and I think they're going to build on that.
I think in terms of like their crowds, it's definitely not been great. But I think in terms of like the in-ring product that they're putting out and then the shows that they're putting on, I'm not alone with you. I think it is one of their best years that they've had in all freaking honesty. And I think that is going to continue into 2025. And going back to, you know, the people that think AEW is dying, it's like, bro, they just got a Max deal. They just got a new TV deal. Mm. They have plenty of money coming into the company right now. It's like, but it's people continuing to like move the goalposts, people having bad faith takes. So it's not that like I take any of it seriously, but it does get really annoying when it's like every day you just hear the same freaking things and all that about AEW. And it's really annoying.
It's nothing new.
It's nothing new. Yeah, exactly. It's just the same old crap that's been there for years. It's just gotten louder over this past year for sure. So into more positive news, what are your thoughts on the 2024 Continental Classic?
I honestly been enjoying it so much. Like for a good wrestling product, that whole tournament has been very good overall. I've enjoyed all the matches we've had. And overall, I just have no complaints about it. It's been very good, showcasing the good talent that we do have in this company. I just really enjoy it so much as a wrestling fan.
Sure. I think I'm still, you know, obviously we still got like another week of it left and we're not sure who's going to win it yet. I think overall so far, I do think that I like last year's better. However, there are matches from this year's tournament that I think are like some of the best Continental Classic matches that they've put on, a la Will Ospreay versus Darby Allin, which they just had this past week, which I thought was just absolutely fantastic. It's probably my favorite like Continental Classic match that I've seen so far of the 2 years, which is absolutely fantastic.
I mean, like the fact that we get to see like every star like fight each other, like this is like stuff we would make in like a video game and all that. And the fact that we get to see this real life, like it's just awesome to see. Like, I'm not complaining. We're seeing very good talent. And if people can't see the product, then that's on them. It's a good product, honestly.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, dude. So, DJ, this is actually another one I've actually been looking forward to talk to with you about. The Costco guys are all elite. And they will be at All In Texas in July of 2025. I'm going to be straight up with you, man. I had no idea who these guys were, like, before AEW started. Like, I know my brother knew, my cousin knew them, and they were all very excited, like, on the pre-show when the Costco guys were there. I had no idea who these guys were, and I saw that guy. What's the dad's name? Is it Big...
Big Justice?
Big Boom AJ is
Big
who the
Justice
guy was.
Is the kid.
Yes, Justice is the kid, and then there's the Riddler. Not the Riddler. Yes, you're right. I remember when I was like, the Rizzler, that's a weird thing. And then I saw it was this kid, I'm like, wait, that's the Rizzler? And I was laughing so hard. It was great. But like, yeah, they seemed like a great group of people. And it's cool that the dude, I think, ended up wrestling. Didn't he, like, I think I read a story that, like, the dude went in there with, like, something broken in his foot or in his leg or something, and the dude went out there and still worked a full match. As a wrestling fan, that, like, 100% earned my respect from that guy. The fact that he was still willing to go through what he did to put on that match because he knew that like eyeballs were going to be on him and his match. So yeah, that as a wrestling fan, that earned my respect.
Well, first off, where's my double chocolate chunk cookie, Ryan? Where's my
cookie? Yeah, that's another thing that my brother and I not stop joking about now is the double chunk chocolate cookie.
Yeah, where's my cookie at, man? I'm hungry.
I know. Now you're going to want me. You're going to make us go get double chunk chocolate cookies.
You know me too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, dude. All right. So, yeah, dude, kind of give me your thoughts on what you've been thinking of these guys and your thoughts of them being at All In next year.
I think they're a fresh breath of fresh air, in my opinion. Like, sure. It's a good entertainment. They're really hilarious. And
yeah,
I just can't get enough of them now. And like you said, now I'm getting hungry, man. That chocolate chunk cookie, man.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, they're awesome.
For sure. And then I've got one more topic for you before we move on, and that is Darby Allin. We've been talking about this for a while because it's something that he's been talking about for a while.
Is he doing
Darby
it now?
Allin, next year, Darby Allin is climbing Mount Everest in April 2025, and he says that he will be back for All in Texas.
Oh, so, my.
Dude, I'm going to tell you this right now. If Darby Allin successfully climbs Mount Everest and he plants the AEW flag on top of it, you 100% need to make this man world champion at All In if he's able to compete. Like, oh my gosh.
Bro, if he does this successfully and doesn't, like, you know, hurt himself, bro,
yeah,
not only make him champion at All In, but give this man a title run, because this man is, please.
Dude, I'd love to see Darby Allin as world champion. He's always been one of my faves in this company.
Oh, you and me both, brother. But bro, if Darby Allin does this successfully, man, bro, sky's the limit for Darby Allin. This man is like doing risks every other week, I swear.
Shout out Darby Allin. He's absolutely amazing. I think it's time we get into the 2024 AEW Awards. You ready for this?
Yes, sir. Do you want to start us off or should I?
I can start us off, and we can kind of like go back and forth, you know, if you want. But so for those, this is what we're going to be doing, everybody. So we've got a bunch of awards here that we're going to go through each one, and each of us are going to give our selection for set award, maybe a little bit of a reason why we chose set person or set event for award. And yeah, we'll just kind of keep going until we get through all the awards. And you know, you guys can let us know if you're watching on YouTube, you can let us know in the comments below if you guys agree with our picks, or if you'd have like other, you know, picks for our awards as well. Like, by all means, all your opinions in the comments below, for sure. Just make sure to be respectful as always. So we're going to start out with segment of the year. For me personally, I've got Hangman Page burning down Swerve Strickland's house. I was there at the Milwaukee show when that segment happened. Like, I know it was on a TV, so it wasn't like we actually got to see that whole thing play down personally, but I remember sitting there, like someone had said something about like in the crowd next to us, like, Hangman's gonna burn Swerve's house in the next segment or something like that. And we all kind of looked at each other like, oh my God, that's exactly what's going to happen, isn't it? Like, his house is going to get burned. And it was so funny because I remember like earlier in the day, Swerve had put out, AEW put out this video on his behalf. Like, you know, Swerve Strickland, he bought his childhood home and stuff. And I'm like, oh, dude, you know what? That's really cool. I'm so happy for Swerve Strickland. And then like freaking hours later, they just burn it on live TV. And I'm like, I'm a sucker for this stuff, man. I'm a freaking idiot for expecting anything else not for that to not happen. And oh my gosh, it was such an effective like go home segment for their all out match for sure. And honestly, like I don't think we have rivalry of the. I'm just realizing I don't think we have a rivalry of the year down on this list. But it would be Hangman and Swerve if there was.
I couldn't agree with you more. That was the rivalry of the year, honestly.
Okay, there we go. There's our first official award. Rivalry of the year is Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland. Segment of the year for me goes to Hangman burning down Swerve's house. DJ, what say you?
My segment. So this has been going on for like at least 2 months now, probably. Moxley and the Death Riders beating up everyone and like showing everyone like how this isn't your company anymore, and like how Moxley's gonna, you know, organize AEW into his vision, you know, and saying like how this isn't your company anymore. So I'm gonna give it out to Moxley and the Death Riders, because bro, I've loved every minute of it from the moment they started to now. Like, bro, this was so awesome. Like, even when we went to their show in Chicago, the Dynamite Thanksgiving Eve, bro, to see them in person, that was so awesome to see. Like, these are like it's like a bike rider game to me, you know, like they don't give a crap, you know, like they're just going to do their business and kick butt, and like their entrances and like the way they're just beating up everyone. Like, it's insane. Like, it's turned around the whole company upside down, and it's just very awesome. I'm looking forward to what they're doing in 2025. But like when they beat up Hangman, Jay White, Orange Cassidy, like, Orange Cassidy's almost to the dark side now, you know, like he's almost pulled an Anakin in my opinion. And it's just been very awesome to see, like, they're pushing the talent that they need to push. And like Tony Khan always does. Moxley's the guy, you know, to get everyone over and get this company on track again.
Yeah.
I'm just loving every minute of it. And I'm loving the crew and like Moxley's vision. And man, I love Moxley as a heel. I am not going to lie. So
yeah,
segment of the year goes to Moxley and the Death Riders.
I really liked the one that they did recently where like Hangman, Jay, and Orange came together, like three unlikely like allies, just be like, you know what, we're coming together under this common cause, and that's to stop the Death Riders from wreaking more havoc. So no, that's definitely a good choice there. Next up on our list of awards is pay-per-view of the year.
Oh, this was a hard one, man. This was a hard one.
Do you want to start out on this one?
I'll start it out. Why not?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bro, every year AEW puts on good pay-per-views. This was a hard year. This was a hard year for me. But if I'm going to go with pay-per-view of the year for me, it goes out to All Out 2024 for me because, one, you can't complain about the Swerve and Hangman cage match because Hangman was on another level and then Swerve was on another level. It was like, oh my gosh, we're getting like an Obi-Wan Anakin versus wrestling fight right here. You know,
You with the Star Wars references today, I like it.
Thank you. But yeah, both men were like going at each other, you know, nothing holding back. There was blood shed. Like, bro, this was like a wrestler fan's dream right here. And this was so freaking awesome to watch. Not only that, but like after the Danielson beating Jack Perry, you know, Christian Cage and his Patriarchy crew come out, and then Moxley and the BCC, you know, try to back up Danielson. What I never expected was that all of them would betray Danielson, beat him up, you know, and sophisticate him with a plastic bag, and that would be the beginning of the Death Riders right there. So that's my pay-per-view of the year. Oh, and a match I totally forgot, too. I think you'll remember this now, the Statlander versus Will Nightingale street fight.
Oh, that's right. That was on that show. Oh, yeah, that was a good one, too.
Those were the good matches of the night, and that's was enough for me to give it pay-per-view of the year.
Absolutely. And I think that's the show too. What was my boy Will doing? I think he was fighting Pac at that pay-per-view.
Intercontinental title, yeah.
For the international title. Yeah, that's right. So that was a good match. And you know, shocker, Will Ospreay has a great match on pay-per-view. Who would have thunk it? But yeah, thought? No, that's actually, I didn't even think about you almost kind of convinced me there on like All Out being one of the better pay-per-views this year, dude. I'm not gonna lie, you actually won me over with that. But for my pay-per-view of the year, it's a toss-up for me. I actually have two of them written down because I thought they were both like so good. The first of which was AEW Revolution. And that was the show that had Sting's last match.
Yeah, and I can't argue.
Yeah, like that's going to be one that just like holds a place in time, a place in history of like, this is the night that like the Icon had his final match in all of professional wrestling. And on top of that as well, like you had all these other fantastic matches on the show. You had this really nice tag match between FTR versus Moxley and Claudio, which is such a great tag match this year. You had Daniel Garcia, like, you know, trying to challenge and chase after Christian Cage and the TNT championship. There was so much different stuff going down on this pay-per-view, and just like, you know, the triple threat between Joe, Hangman, and Swerve for the world championship. All these incredible matches, man. Ospreay and Takeshita, fantastic match. So yeah, definitely Revolution is one of those pay-per-views, man, that stood out to me this year. But another one that really stood out to me is AEW Dynasty. And that one stands out to me really for two reasons. First off, it's the pay-per-view where Swerve started his world title run. That's the pay-per-view where he won the World Heavyweight Championship from Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. But it's also the night that had Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson, which was one of my favorite matches of all time now, in all freaking honesty. And maybe that's a little bit of a spoiler for something that's going to happen later on our list. But it was, I love that match so much. And for that reason as well, those two pay-per-views are my pay-per-views of the year for AEW in 2024. Moving onward to biggest free agent signing of the year. Now, when I wrote down this specific award, I didn't necessarily mean in terms of name value. For it, for us, it's more about, okay, of all the people that they've signed this year, who has had the biggest like impact.
Yeah, impact.
In AEW. So I guess I'll kind of start with this one.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to my boy Will. Like, I know he came out in 2023, like towards the end of the year, and said, like, I'm gonna be signing with AEW, but he technically wasn't signed until his New Japan obligations were done. So he technically didn't sign until 2024, but he announced in 2023, like, hey guys, I'm gonna be signing with this company, so don't worry, I'm gonna be back. And you know, Will Ospreay, what a great wrestler that man is. Like, if we go through all of the matches that this guy had this year, like on pay-per-view alone, Takeshita, Danielson, MJF, Swerve, Pac, the triple threat between Ricochet and Takeshita, the match with Kyle Fletcher, like these are all, like, for me, match of the year contenders. Like, if I was making a top 10 list of all my favorite matches of the year, I'm pretty sure like 9 of the 10 of them would all involve Will Ospreay, because that's how much I think highly of him, and that's how much I think highly of his matches. So yeah, for me, if you're talking about someone that's made like such an incredible impact on this company, I think Will Ospreay is definitely that guy. And he also, in my opinion, should be like the guy. He really should be the world champion, and he should be like one of the like main people that they build this company around. And maybe we'll get there in 2025.
Who knows? I totally agree with you. I think he has that it factor. But now for me, for my biggest free agent signing, I want to say Ospreay too, but I think he's been doing great otherwise. I'm giving it to my boy Kazuchika Okada.
Ooh, okay.
Because
I respect it.
They came in around the same time, you know, and
they did, yep.
And I will say this, the reason why I'm giving it to him is because he's a champion, and not only that, but he's been putting on good matches whenever he does get the time to do it. Not only that, but his run with the Elite and all that, as the, you know, the EVPs and all that. Okada is a decorative superstar. He is a best all-around pro wrestler, and can't wait to see what the future holds for him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think Okada is definitely a good shout for sure. All right, so here's a fun one that we're going to do. We're going to go over our breakout star of the year awards for both the men and the women. So we're going to start out with the female breakout star of the year. DJ, if you want to go first and give me your pick.
I'm giving it to my girl, Mariah May.
Okay.
She's had a year, you know, she was under Toni Storm for a good chunk of it, but when she got out of her shell, per se, or out of Toni's shadow, man, did she take off, and I am thanking Toni Khan for that, because, like, oh my gosh, she has risen the bar up for this women's division, and she is going to have a good run with AEW, hopefully, and what she did with Mina recently, oh my gosh, she is just awesome. She's like the bad girl of pro wrestling, in my opinion, right now. I love her gimmick, you know, like when she's beating up everyone, you know, and like all the glamour that she does, being the bad girl. That's who my award goes to for breakout of the year.
Sure. I think with Mariah May, she's definitely had some ups and downs this year. I think that, like, I give Toni Khan a ton of credit, because when they brought her in, they immediately had a plan for her, and they followed that plan to perfection. It was like, we're going to have her as Toni Storm's understudy, and then they're going to become like best friends and things like that. And then eventually, you know, she turns on her, and then she ends up becoming the world champion. Unfortunately, I don't think that this title run of hers has been, in my opinion, that great. I think she had a good match with Willow on pay-per-view not that long ago. And I think, I'm sure the match that she's going to have coming up with Thunder Rosa at World's End should hopefully be pretty good as well. And then, you know, whatever they do with Toni and stuff, you know, hopefully they can turn some stuff around.
You can also say that the Anna Jay match was decent too on Collision. Like, that was a decent match as well.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. They had a couple of decent matches on Collision as well, right? But, like, it feels like they haven't had as good of a plan of, like, when she becomes champion versus when she wasn't champion. So, but I don't disagree with you and your opinion about her being a breakout star of the year. For me, my breakout star of the year for the women goes to Anna Jay. I did not expect for Anna Jay to even come close to becoming like one of my favorite female performers in AEW. She came back from Japan and my whole perspective on her changed. And I was like, you know, yeah, like the Anna Jay, she's okay. Like, yeah, I'm sure, you know, you put her in there every now and again and like she'll put on some decent matches, sure. And, you know, but like now I'm like, I want more Anna Jay. I want more Anna Jay on my television screen. I really wanted her to beat Mercedes a couple of weeks ago. Like, it was so, that match was so good too. I think the world of Anna Jay now, I think Anna Jay is in a spot now that I thought Ty Conti was going to be in if she would have stayed on like on her current course back in the day before she got like hooked up with Sammy. So
Don't get me started.
So I'm very happy for Anna Jay. I think she continues on that trajectory, man. I think big things are in store for her. And I think that if she had a breakout star this year, that I think 2025, I could definitely see her potentially becoming a champion in this company.
The only thing I have to say is, why is she not champion yet? Because she's been good after her Japan run. It's just, I'm like you, man. I'm eager to see what is in store for her. And like I said earlier, why is she not champion yet? Because she has the gimmick, the promos, and the talent to be a champion.
Neither of us have seen anything from that Japan run. Like, I'm not going to try and like sit here and pretend that we did, but like the minute she came back, I was like, oh, there's like little things I'm noticing that she's doing differently. And like, I was like, oh, there was a switch that went off. Something did happen over there that caused her to change up her appearance and her style and the way that she wrestles in the ring. So it was very cool to see. And I'm very happy for Anna Jay. What about your male breakout star of the year?
Well, it was about time that he became a champion for once.
Yeah.
He's the TNT champion right now. Daniel Garcia.
That was my pick too. I picked the exact same person for mine.
No way.
Daniel Garcia. Yep.
Wow. So we'll just have a conversation about this one then.
Go for it. What do you have to say?
Well, first off, this man has grown into a talent. Like, I remember the day when he was part of the JAS, you know, the Jericho Appreciation Society with my guy. And I'm like, you know, if they give him some good booking and good matches, he could be a champion. And sure enough, when Daniels had the spotlight on him, he has shined, you know, like when you give him a chance, you know, and put him in the ring, he excelled, you know, like you don't know until you put him in. When Daniel's been in the matches, he has been spot on. And with this recent rivalry with Jack Perry, like, bro went on another level, in my opinion. And he was like, he's got that aura to him, you know. He's like, oh man, you better give him the title now, Tony, or I was gonna be mad if he didn't win at Full Gear. But bro, I'm so happy that he's TNT champion now. Like, he deserved it. He's had a good run, and he was my breakout guy because he's been having stellar matches. His gimmick is the best, man. Like, I can't have enough to say. He's awesome. He was a breakout for this year for sure.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that this TNT title win was long overdue. Like, I think it should have happened like last year, in all honesty. Like, when they were doing whatever year that was that they were doing the Brian and Jericho story, and like Daniel Garcia was kind of conflicted about whether he should be with his current mentor in Chris Jericho or his idol in Brian Danielson. And the thing that I kept comparing Daniel Garcia to at the time was Zuko from Avatar The Last Airbender. And one of the things that, for those that have watched that show, he's, you know, for those who haven't seen the show, I'll kind of sum it up like this. He's a bad guy that eventually turns into a good guy. But before he becomes a good guy, he goes from being like a bad guy to a somewhat good guy. Then he goes to an even worse bad guy than he was before. And then eventually he becomes that good guy. And that's what I thought they were doing when he went after Brian Danielson. I'm like, oh my gosh, of course. It's because he's Zuko. He's going to get worse before he gets better. And then they just never did anything with it. And I'm like, yo, what are we doing here? And that's why I say, man, like, I think that this current iteration of Daniel Garcia is massively overdue. I thought he had an incredible, you know, summer going through like that sort of like little rivalry that he had with MJF. And then, you know, that kind of leading into the fall and then him announcing that he's re-signed with AEW, he becomes TNT champion. And yeah, just what a great back half of the year for Daniel Garcia. Moving on to the champion of the year. This is an award that is going to go to, who do we think, who was the best of all the champions in AEW? And there are a lot of them because there's a lot of championship belts, but who was your favorite champion in 2024? DJ, let me know who you got.
Well, champion of the year. I'm going to go with the tag team route here. I really think they rocked it. Got to go with my EVPs, the Young Bucks, man.
The Young Bucks? Okay.
I got to go with my EVPs because they were awesome, you know. They were like, oh, yeah, you know, we're the EVPs. We can do this and that. Like, it was just so awesome to see them running around, making these matches, doing this, all that. We had some extra dynamite time because of them, you know, because like, oh, yeah, we're going to go past the 2 hours, you know. Like, that was just so awesome to me. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to beat this guy up. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this, that. And then when Christopher Daniels came in,
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It rose it up to me. And like for a heel champions, those were the two guys that rocked it. Like whenever they go heel, you know they're going to rise up the occasion. And they sure did. And I can't say no to my boys because the Young Bucks are good. And when they do their thing, you know they're going to cook something up good. And man, did they cook something this year as tag champs.
I think I'll probably have to like disagree with you a little bit on that, only because I thought like of all the tag runs that the Bucks have had with the belts, I thought that this was probably my least favorite run that they had. But I definitely did like the characters that they were portraying and the stuff that they were doing. So there is that. I think for me, the champion of the year, I went a little bit of a different route. I went with a man who he didn't hold his championship for very long, but the way that he won it was very meaningful. And I think that the way that it ended was very meaningful. And that goes to Bryan Danielson winning the AEW World Championship. Again, it was probably like only 2 months in total that he held the championship, but winning it in the main event of All Out, winning it at the main event of All In at Wembley, which I think Bryan has even gone out and on record now and said that that is like his favorite moment in all of wrestling, and putting somebody over on the way out, and that person being Jon Moxley, someone that I think Bryan thinks very highly of, and doing it in a way where like not only did he lose the championship, but they basically like killed him off TV. Basically, they just wrote him out of it. And the whole like, you know, I'm going to suffocate you and I'm going to, you know, we're going to end your career and we're going to have all these other wrestlers come out and be like in shock that like it looks like your career is over and that you've had like such this impact on the wrestling business. So, yeah, man, shout out Bryan Danielson.
Oh, man, you can't argue with that one because he was so good. And like I will say, isn't it a coincidence that it started with him and Moxley beating each other up before the whole BCC began? And then it ended with those two at Wrestle Dream, if I got that right.
Yep. Dude, you're right. It is very ironic in that sense, for sure. So now we are moving on to the promo of the year. I'm going to start out on this one, if you don't mind. I've got something maybe a little bit different that people may not expect, or maybe some people may have forgot it happened this year. Kenny Omega did not have too much going on this year for very obvious reasons. But the one thing that I really enjoyed about this year was Kenny Omega coming out on Dynamite and opening up about his injuries and him having to be vulnerable and all this stuff that like a side of Kenny that I felt like we had never seen before. And it was kind of like him giving like this update and like, you know, talking about how like if this could have gone on any longer, like I don't know how much time I would have had left. And it was really like this heart-wrenching thing, like a low-key underrated moment of Dynamite this year that I personally really enjoyed.
I get that, man. Wow, that was awesome because, like you said, he's been injured the whole year.
Yeah.
And as that man can do anything, like the fact that he could put on a sick promo like that, I can't argue with it. I respect that.
It was very real. I think that's why I liked it so much, is because it wasn't even necessarily that it was just a promo. It was like, it just felt like it was him coming out there and being like, guys, so this is what's up with me. This is why I have to be away right now. And that's just kind of the reality of the situation. So mm-hmm. what's your promo for 24?
Well, like your champion of the year, it was the Bryan Danielson promo before All In, before that that Dynamite, I think, before All In, when yeah. he was like he was one-on-one with the fans. He's like, okay, I'm gonna be real with you all here. I'm either going to All In as a champion or I'm gonna retire.
That's
and I'm like, oh, because at that moment I'm like, I don't even know if he's gonna win at All In. I'm like, oh crap, this is like serious. He's like, he was speaking from the heart to me, in my opinion, because he was like, I'm either gonna be a champion or I'm retiring. I can't go one or two. I have to go one way or another. And when he said that, I'm like, oh man, it was just like, no, I don't want to see you leave. Because he was having such a good run, and he never, you know, before All In happened, I'm like, oh crap. But it was just very persuading to me, and he just rocks that promo because he was like being sincere to the fans and being like, my time is coming up soon, and if I don't come out of this as a champion, then I'll retire, so be it. That was just very moving to me, and that had me at the edge of my seat and being like, oh crap, I don't know the result for All In, because
I didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah, dude, I wasn't sure. I know I wanted Bryan to win, but like, I didn't know which way that they were going to take it. Let's go into match of the year. A lot of great matches, man. I'll let you take the lead on this one. Yeah,
I'll gladly take it. Man, it goes back to my pay-per-view of the year. The steel cage match between Hangman and Swerve.
That was pretty good.
Part three? Wait, was that part three?
Part three, part four, something like that. Yeah, but like, either way.
They've had banger matches back and forth, and the fact that it ended in a steel cage match with bloodshed, like, bros, you had to know at some point. They were like, okay, give these guys a steel cage and let them fight it out themselves. Like, who cares if one person gets killed or whatever? Like, let these men fight it out, you know? And that was just so awesome to watch as a wrestling fan. Hangman, Swerve, both men who despise and want to kill each other, you know? Like, seriously, it was amazing to watch. Not gonna lie, in my head, I had a battle of the heroes in my head, you know, while they were both fighting it out, because you think of it was like a face and a heel, two of the best in the business going at each other, and it was just so awesome to watch. And if you want a definition of a pro wrestling match, that was it right there for me. That's my award, and I love it.
My 2024 matchup, you know, I feel like is going to be a shocker considering what all the stuff I was praising about him before, but Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. Oh my gosh, that match had so many amazing moments, and they just wrestled like my kind of style of match. It was absolutely fantastic, and you got like two of the best in the world, two of the best to ever do it, just in there trying to prove who's the best. It's not about any titles, not anything like that. It's just two great wrestlers being in there. And I'm, you know, people to be like, oh, but there's no storyline. And it's like, bro, it's about who wants to be the best, bro. That's like the story of every wrestling match ever. That's the point of professional wrestling. Not everything is soap opera in pro wrestling. It's also, it's a sports-based product. You freaking idiots. WWE has like twisted so many people's minds into like soap opera is the way to do wrestling. That is not the only way to do wrestling, you freaking idiots. So that might be what you enjoy more, and that's fine. But this whole thing of like, oh, but there's never a storyline. I'm going to go cry in a corner because there's no storyline. Like, get the out of here. So Bryan Danielson, man, that moment when Ospreay is going for the Os cutter, and I just spit all over my screen, Bryan Danielson catches Will with the running knee, the Busaiko knee, as he's jumping, and he just hits him smack dab in the temple of the head, and I just was like, oh my gosh, that looked like it hurt so bad. And it was just such this great moment, man. And like the finish of the match with like the Tiger Driver spot, which also led to a storyline for all the storyline marks out there, that Will wasn't going to do the Tiger Driver anymore because of what he did to Bryan and his neck, like, you know, not being what it should be. And yeah, man, like it's such a great freaking match that was, man. I loved it. I loved it so much.
Oh, man, dude. I almost forgot that match. Like, bro, that was a heck of a match. And like you were ranting on earlier, like, who needs a soap opera when you have two of the best freaking wrestlers in the world fighting it out? Like, I don't give a crap about the storyline. I just want to see a good match, for crying out loud.
Exactly. If y'all are looking for a soap opera, go watch General Hospital or like whatever other, I don't know all the soap operas. But you know, like, you get my point. It's like, go watch one of those on like NBC or ABC. Go watch that stuff if that's really what you're looking for. So anyway, moving on from that little rant there, let's go on to Tag Team of the Year. So we're now at a point now with our final four awards. We're going to go over Tag Team of the Year, Faction of the Year, Female Wrestler of the Year, and Male Wrestler of the Year. So we're going to start out with Tag Team of the Year. I'm going to start out for me personally. I will say this, man. This year, the tag team division has struggled. And it is only taken... They only have like just figured it out in like the past 2 or 3 months. And even then, I would argue that it's still not the greatest because the current tag champions in Private Party have barely been on TV since they've won the tag team titles, which is not acceptable for your tag team champions. For me, though,
it is not their fault. It is not their fault.
No. That is not their fault. That is on the company. That's on the booking. But my tag team of the year is going to go to the team that, you know, I think has done the most work in AEW to, like, not only, you know, for themselves, but for the tag team division as a whole. And that is my boys, FTR. These guys, you know, I talked about at the start of the year, they had an incredible match on pay-per-view with Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli. I wish there was kind of more of a point of that, because like Blackpool Combat Club won that match, but then there was like really no follow-up to it, and then FTR was still the ones getting the tag title shot at the next pay-per-view, so all of that kind of confused me, but the match was still great nonetheless. So there was definitely that, and then, you know, they had a match with the Bucks at All In this year once again. I think the Acclaimed were involved with that too. And then the back half of the year, they've just been working with like the Outrunners, who have become like this massively over tag team, and I was like, it just kind of like came out of nowhere for me, the Outrunners, in terms of a team that just like, okay, wow, people really like these guys. Oh, I have no idea who they are, but cool, everyone likes them, great. And yeah, I think like FTR doing their stuff with them, like the vignettes and stuff, like it was all very fun stuff. So shout out to my boys FTR, and hopefully they have an even better 2025.
Oh man, my tag team of the year. Oh man, I love these guys, and your brother will agree with me on this. They are becoming the best team out there right now. Gotta go with the Outrunners, man. I'm telling you, I don't know why, but every time I watch them, just a fun team to watch, and it's a nice breath of fresh air to me, because you know, our tag team division is becoming stale these days, and you know, we don't have
The fault on the talent, by the way. It's the booking. They have the talent there. They just have to be booked properly.
Yeah. And I was getting there too, but yeah, sorry. Like these two guys are very talented, and when they're on TV, they're like, when they have the muscles, they remind me, like, you know, bodybuilders, Hulk Hogan, you know, their hair, you know, like their gimmick is just so awesome to me, and they back it up with their wrestling moves and all that. Like, they know how to be a tag team, and their run with FTR, you know, teaming up together and all that stuff, that was really entertaining for me. I just think it was very nice for the tag division, at least, to get some entertainment in again, you know, and have some fun with it again. So I really think that the Outrunners really did good this year.
Absolutely. And I do want to give a shout out to my boys, Private Party, for winning the AEW tag team titles. And again, I wish they were getting booked better. I wish that this tag division would get booked better, but maybe we'll get there at some point in 2025. Moving on to Faction of the Year, and I have a feeling you and I probably chose the same faction, but I'll let you... Who do you got?
Well, as sad as it is to not have an Inner Circle this year, and shout out to the Death Riders, they were very good, but this is a group that came in this year, and they hurt people, the Hurt Syndicate. They have been there for a short time. But let me back my claim up here.
Okay.
The Hurt Syndicate, the moment MVP came in, I'm like, yes, I know who's coming in, and I know what they're going to do, because right away Shelton came in, and he was putting on some good matches, and then Bobby Lashley came in, and let me just say, for a short amount of time, they are becoming one of the better factions, and you can disagree with me, all this and that, but we haven't had a faction like that coming in. They look like a mafia, for crying out loud. Like, they remind me of The Godfather, for crying out loud. Like, the way they walk, the promos, like, they know how to back it up, and they hurt people, obviously. So that's a whole good gimmick by itself. Bobby Lashley, dominant. Shelton Benjamin, way better run right now. MVP, MVP, manager of the year right now. And it's a short time, I understand, and I'm probably going to get some criticism for that, but they have had so much good accomplished already that sky's the limit for this squad here, and give them time. They are going to be the faction right now, and yeah.
I'm going to call my shot right now. I think that in 2025, the Hurt Syndicate is going to be my faction of the year. As far as 2024 goes, and you did kind of touch on it, like, it has been a short amount of time that they've been here, but you are right. They came in and immediately they just had this presence about them. And Shelton Benjamin is having the greatest run of his career that he has ever had right now, between the matches that he had when he first came in and now the matches that he's having in the C2. This man is completely was just screwed in over in the other company. And I'm so happy that he's giving the chance to show everybody what he can do in the ring. And I love that. MVP, like you say, is killing it in his role in this group as well. And I think Bobby Lashley, we really haven't gotten, in all honesty, we haven't gotten much with Bobby Lashley yet, other than like the match with Swerve. But I think Bobby Lashley carries himself like a star, and they are presenting him like a star. So yeah, whenever he is in that ring, man, like, he's gonna show the world what he can do.
You can tell that when you watch this group too, they're having fun while at it too. Like, you can tell that Bobby's having fun with the group. Shelton, MVP, like, this is, they're really growing in the short amount of time that they've been here. And I think sky's the limit for them, and that I'm just so pumped for them to hurt people. And who knows who joins the group in the future, but they got a good gimmick going on right now.
I'm pretty sure that they're probably going to set up for, like, maybe Ricochet to join them at some point. Because I think the last couple weeks, they've kind of been teasing like a Ricochet heel turn in the C2. So maybe that's something that happens, or who knows what else they do. But for
I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah. But for my faction of the year, I didn't expect you to go with the Hurt Syndicate. So that's why I said, I thought you were going to go with the group that I'm going with right now. And that's the Death Riders.
That was my second group.
Fair enough. The Death Riders, to me, like, they started out this year as like the Blackpool Combat Club. They became the Death Riders. That the angles that they've done with like taking out Bryan Danielson, then going after like members of the AEW locker room and stuff, I kind of wish that they would like do a little bit more with that, because it kind of feels like they've taken not as many wrestlers, it feels like, care anymore in terms of like them taking over. And I think that that should be changed. Like, I think the mentality around that locker room should be like, hey, we have to stop these guys. And I even think that they should, that the Death Riders should recruit a couple more people to really make them feel like a threat. Cause like, it's, you have what, like 4 or 5 people in it right now. I think if you put like maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 more people in that group, and then it becomes like such this massive threat that like half the locker room comes together to be like, all right, we're going to take these guys down. Like, and you start seeing, we've seen it already with Darby Allin and Will Ospreay. Darby basically saying to Will, like, dude, you got to stand, you can help us, you can stand with us. So I think that like the Death Riders, they've had this presence about them. Has it gone like under the boil a little bit? Yes, but I'm not in the same boat as like other people are, where I know some people are just kind of like done with that storyline. I'm not there yet. I think they can still tell some incredible stuff with them. And on top of that as well, like, you've had John Moxley, you know, as your world champion right now. You've got Pac, Claudio, and Yuta as the trios champions, and the work that they've done with Yuta as well this year, and the conflict within him, I think, has been absolutely incredible. Clearly the crowd is not invested in Yuta, because every time that the crowd, he goes out there, they're chanting F you Yuta, which, if I'm AEW, I almost wonder if now, because I think the plan was going to be like you turn Yuta into like this ultimate baby face. I think if you've got this much heat on him, I think you call an audible and you keep him as a heel. Make him like this absolute scum of the earth that like people can't stand, and turn him into like a heel. If you're going to make him a champion at some point, make him a champion as a heel and someone that people really despise and people really hate. So, because there's not a lot of heels like that anymore. So, mm-hmm. I think you gotta run with it when it comes to Yuta. In all honesty,
oh yeah, totally agree. And it was a close call between them for me. The Death Riders have had a heck of a run this year, but yeah, sky's the limit for the Death Riders too. I do agree with you. They could recruit a couple more people, but they have a good thing going on right now. And who knows?
They do.
Who knows? Maybe they do get a couple more. But like I said, with the Hurt Syndicate, sky's the limit for this group. And who knows what will happen in 2025.
And on that note, let's move on to the female wrestler of the year.
I'll take this one.
Go ahead.
So there have been a lot of, you know, free agents coming in and, you know, good runs here and there and all that. But she's had a good run when she became champion, and her whole gimmick has been one of the best. Toni Storm. That is my female of the year right there for me, because she... Oh, yes.
She's mine as well, just
no.
So everybody knows.
No
we picked
way.
The same thing. On two different awards, we picked the same thing.
No
so
way.
Go ahead and say what you got to say, and I'll follow you up.
All right. So I totally loved her gimmick, you know, when she went to like an old school, you know, black and white 1940s, 50s, you know, and, you know, she's saying like all these like hyperboles, you know, like exaggerations, you know, like, you know, watch for the shoe, you know, all that fun stuff. And like the way she like carried herself, it was like, whoa, I have never seen this before in like a woman heel before. But like she took it to another level, in my opinion. And she backed it up with some decent matches, too. And I got to say, Luther's the luckiest guy right in that was during that run. Like, that's the only time I'm going to bring it up. But like when she had Luther and Mariah May under her belt, it was like, man, they could give Toni a good run here, you know? And the way she was like carrying herself in her promos, you know, the way she was like talking with Renee and like other sideline reporters, like she just carried herself in a way that I wouldn't have expected. And the way she like made herself as an undeniable great champion as a heel, you don't see that today in heels. And I just think she deserved my award because she had an amazing title run. She had a good back and forth friendship to enemy with Mariah May. And she just had a great gimmick that I really couldn't keep her out of this conversation.
I actually don't know how much more I have to say to really add to what you said, because I'm in complete agreement with you. Like, this has been the year of Toni Storm. Toni Storm is the perfect example of hey, you've got 2 minutes to cut this vignette. Go get yourself over. And that's exactly what she did. And this timeless gimmick has been honestly one of the greatest things that they've done in the history of this company. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to Toni Storm. And I'm definitely going to miss that run that she had with the timeless gimmick. But I'm very curious to see what they're doing now that she's like returned as the old Toni Storm.
Yeah.
But also, like, she doesn't appear to remember her original run. I remember sending that to my cousin. I'm like, something's not right here. What's going on here, guys? I think I said that to my brother too. And I was like, wait, guys, what's going on here with Toni Storm? Why doesn't she remember anything? Like, she's been signed to this guy. I remember first seeing, because I don't watch Rampage or whatever all the time. Mm-hmm. So, but I saw a thing where like Toni Storm said, like, Toni Storm is all elite. I'm like, wait a minute, but haven't you been like all elite now for like the past 2.5 years? Haven't you been signed to this company for that long? So you technically aren't all elite. But then when I saw like, oh, wait, hold on. She thinks that she's meeting Thunder Rosa for the first time and she's meeting Tony Schiavone for the first time. No, there's something different going on here. So no, man, I think I thought the world of Toni Storm when she was in WWE, and I wished her better there. But she has gotten to prove that she is every bit of the star that she is in AEW, and I could not be happier for her.
Same here, and who knows how this next Toni Storm will be, but I'm excited because she's back. It may be her old gimmick. It's awesome, but sky's the limit for Toni Storm. She is probably one of the better female wrestlers in this company.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, for our final award of the day, and that is the male wrestler of 2024.
If we get the same person here, I am going to, oh my gosh, man, but I'll let you take this one.
I mean, I guess it all depends. I think you probably know who mine is going to be.
I think I know.
It's going to be kind of obvious. And that person is, of course, I'm talking about Nick Wayne. No, I'm kidding. Will Ospreay. Of course, bro. It's Will Ospreay.
Bro, I would have left this room if you said Nick Wayne, bro. Like, I would have said some French that I would have regretted, man. Like, bro.
It's Will Ospreay. Of course, it's Will Ospreay. For all the reasons that I have said about every other Will Ospreay award that I've given him this year, man is absolutely incredible. Puts on like some of my favorite matches that I've ever seen. The dude is doing this on another level right now that nobody in wrestling is doing, in my opinion. And I think I really don't have much more to say, man, because I think I've talked enough about Will Ospreay today that I think y'all know how I feel about him at this point.
I couldn't agree with you more there. And you're not going to believe my wrestler of the year, man.
I swear if you say Chris Jericho.
Oh, it is my boy, Chris Jericho.
You serious?
Oh, it is.
Are you joking or being real?
I'm being real, man. Chris Jericho. What are you talking about?
Oh my god, dude. Are you serious?
What are you talking about? Who didn't love the Learning Tree gimmick?
Oh my god.
No, in all seriousness, I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to get you there like you did with Nick Wayne.
Okay.
And now, jeez. No.
Oh, you had me worried there.
No, I'm not that crazy yet.
Okay.
So anyway, my male wrestler of the year was actually Swerve Strickland, honestly.
Oh, okay. Shout out Swerve.
I gotta say, for this year, Swerve got pushed to a whole new level. Like, from the moment he became champion at Dynasty to, you know, when he lost it at All In, like, he had an unstoppable run. Like, I thought every match he was getting better. He had the it factor, too. Like, he was having good promos back and forth. Prince Nana with the dance, you know, that started with the Who's House and all those chants. Like, he had the gimmick to go along with it, too. And, like, I'm not going to lie, when Hangman burned his house down, I feel like it turned him into a new man because he's like, bro, you do not do that to another man. And he came out with vengeance. Now, yes, he didn't win the match, but you could tell that it changed him and he had, like, a whole new aura to him in a way. And Swerve Strickland just became another level. And he just had a good title matches when he was champion. Even when he wasn't champion, he still finished strong. He finished strong enough for me to give him the award, in my opinion.
Swerve Strickland was probably my number two in terms of wrestlers of the year for 2024 in AEW, man. I don't disagree with you about the year that Swerve had. And it was a year that he 100% deserved to have. He deserved all the success that came his way, rightfully so. And yeah, like you said, he wasn't champion all year, but what was so cool about it is even when he wasn't champion, he still felt like one of the main parts of AEW, like the feud that he was having with Hangman, the feud that he's now having with Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Syndicate. Swerve has always felt like a major part of Dynamite. He's still massively over. The crowd still loves him. He is one of the main event guys in that company. And he's one of the guys that the company is revolved around. So yeah, man, I completely respect that pick.
Totally sidetracking here. Who would have thought that when we had like Limitless, like Keith Lee and Swerve as a tag team, who would have thought that of the two, even though that's going to be a whole nother conversation, that Swerve would go on to have like the best single run of the year, honestly.
Yeah, man, I think that when it comes to Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, I had always said at the time, like, man, I know they have them as a tag team right now, and it's great because it's giving them stuff to do, but I think both of them would thrive as singles competitors, and unfortunately, Keith Lee hasn't been able to have the chance to do that for health reasons. But with Swerve Strickland, I knew that Swerve Strickland was going to break out and become a champion, but like, I don't know if I expected him to be at this level and to be the world champion and to still be such a massive part of AEW. I don't know if I saw it coming back then, but like the minute when he started, you know, becoming, you know, over the way that he did, it's like, man deserved every man deserved every bit of spotlight that was coming his way, and he earned that. So yeah, man, shout out Swerve Strickland. And on that note, I believe that is going to wrap us up for today, you guys. DJ, thank you so much for joining me, as always, for this podcast.
Anytime, man. My pleasure. Always fun to talk wrestling with you.
So in terms of what we're going to be talking about next month, you guys, we're kind of, DJ and I have kind of decided that we're going to be pivoting a little bit from like our original plans for what we were going to do regarding like certain episodes. So nothing is necessarily concrete yet as far as what the next episode is going to be about. I know we were like maybe talking a little bit before that we might do like a podcast talking about like wrestling video games, and we can kind of like talk about AEW Fight Forever as well, since that is, you know, like we are an AEW channel as well in that sense. But yeah, we'll still have to talk about it. We'll have to see. There's a lot that's up in the air right now as far as what we're going to do next. But hopefully you guys are ready for it and excited for what we got to offer. And yeah, I believe that's going to close us out for the day. You guys, again, make sure you guys are following us on any and all podcast platforms. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we will see you guys in the next one.
Peace out.